This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
When bloggers or influencers post their outfit links, 9 times out of 10, I click on it and immediately exit because the price is bananas. It wasn't until recently that I clicked on something expecting it to be the usual out of my price range sweater, and it was under $60 at Quince. Quince has become my ultimate destination for luxury essentials that won't break the bank. Let me tell you about some of the gems I found at Quince. From their 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters starting at just $50 to their washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and stunning 14 karat gold jewelry, Quince offers a range of high quality items at prices that are truly within reach. And here's the best part. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Give yourself the luxury you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of the Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself. Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
We're always so bad at starting the episode.
I know. I realized when we did the e-course that I always start everything with, so now we're going to talk about.
You do say that a lot. But I, you know what I do a lot is I say, right? Like almost making sure you agree with me, because that is like.
I need the validation.
It's like an internalized patriarchy type of thing to do, right?
I do that in sessions. I'll be like.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
Does that make sense?
Does that make sense? Or like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like.
Yeah. I think only women say that. Do you think that
I think that is.
Right? A socially feminist thing.
Have you ever seen those videos that's like. Say this instead of this.
Yes, I love those.
We should do a whole episode on
that. We would be bad at that because
we don't know what we're doing. I need to really work on not saying I'm sorry so much.
Right.
I say I'm sorry about if someone like.
Here's
like,
your reminder that we're humans. First, therapist, second.
If someone like body checks me on the street by accident, I'll be like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Well, you know what's funny, right? Is like so I have a toddler. I have a 2.5-year-old. People listening to this are probably like, why does she say that all the time? But like, you know, not everyone goes back and listens to previous episodes. Right. Sometimes they just come in for the topic.
And gotta give a little. And she gets older.
Yeah. God. So, they say about kids is that the days are long, but the years are short.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's how I feel just in my own life.
Yeah, I guess that's true, right? I guess that's true for most things. Yes, yeah, I think you're very, very right there. But she says sorry a lot. And like, So like something we do is saying like, you know, you do not need to say I'm sorry. Like she'll be like, she'll spill something and be like, I'm so. Oh, she gets really car sick when she throws up in the car. She says, I'm so sorry.
Oh my God.
And I think it's because I say I'm like when she's like feeling bad, I like one of the things I used to do is be like, I'm really sorry you're hurting. And then I stopped doing that because after like reading more and educating more, because we don't work with kids.
Right.
Right. Like that's like not
we
part
tried
of our.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like not also like early childhood development is very different.
So
than
it's
working,
a completely
yes.
different type of therapy.
So then when I like really like read a lot, you're like not supposed to say I'm sorry for feeling that. It's like I understand why you're feeling mad, right? But like, so then I had to switch this, and then I like, you know, and here's the way you fuck your kids accidentally, right? So like, for anyone listening, it's like, I don't want to fuck my kids up. You will, even when you
and
try
then
not
go to.
To
therapy.
Yes, and that brings up our intro into our topic today, which is expectations for relationships, right? Expectations that our parents won't screw us up or that people won't make mistakes, right? Like. And we started talking about this because we have this new e-course that's out, which is Making the Most of Your Marriage. You can check it out on our website, therapygroup.com. And one of the modules on the e-course is expectations and boundaries. And when we were doing this, we started talking a lot about expectations in relationships. And we're like, oh, let's do an entire episode about this.
Because it's so important. And I don't think we, right, as we were talking about it on our e-course, we talked a lot about how our expectations are subconscious to us,
yeah.
right? We don't even realize what our expectations
yes.
are. And we get them from so many different sources growing up. Right. So like Millie has an expectation that she needs to apologize.
Yeah. Or right. Or she has an expectation. Mom comes home from work at a certain time. I mean, like even my dog has an expectation. Right. So my dog's used to getting a walk first thing in the morning. So every morning my dog wakes up and he goes right to where it is. Like we're trained for very specific things. So then when you go into adulthood and it's different, sometimes you still have different expectations. Right. Like if I grew up in a family that always had dinner together every single night, then I might, in a relationship, be like, why don't we do this? And my partner's like, what are you talking about? Right. I've never done that with my family. So, like, we have sometimes these expectations that we don't even realize. And they're not necessarily bad. They could just potentially be problematic at some point.
It could cause conflict. I think that's,
yes,
that's, we want to help you make these subconscious expectations more conscious, because the more conscious that you are,
yeah,
the more you can make changes to it, or you can recognize, okay, why am I so reactive to this? Mm-hmm. Like, so reactive to this difference, or maybe this change in our relationship, because you had a certain expectation that things wouldn't change, or that there would be no growth. Or so we wanted to go into different categories of relationships, right? Yeah. And like, where, I mean, we could talk about some of our expectations, yeah, in relationships in general.
Okay. So, all right. So I'm going to put you out there, okay, then, which is like, the, you know, the meanest thing I can do to you, Jen.
Right.
But like, let's,
I mean,
talk,
just making me be on the podcast in general, I think, just trumps it all.
Okay. Well, expectations that your business partner wouldn't convince you to make a podcast. There, yeah, you go.
Expectations that I would never be on a podcast.
Yes, there
in
you
my
go.
Life.
And not, and as opposed to doing it every single, right, week. What are some expectations you had in your romantic relationships, even previous or present?
I think one of them that we talk about a lot is that things are going to be 50-50.
Ooh, this
dagger.
One.
And I think that I still have that expectation a lot of times.
You know, we call that as like a fairness introject, yes, right? So like, people will talk about like, there are certain things that like I am easily have an emotional activation to, right? And like, we call those, it's, you know, there's all these different types of theories, right? And so one of these theories believes in like these introjects. Like, I have these things that hit me. So there's like this fairness introject that if things are not fair, which often we associate with 50-50, that something is wrong.
Yes. So I think that in and of itself is an expectation that I continually work on.
What do you think the percentage in your marriage is?
Oof. I think that, like, in terms of housework, I was thinking about this the other day. Like, he does the deep.
Wait, I was going to say, Bill loves cleaning.
He does the deep cleaning.
Yeah.
Like, I'll do the maintenance and he does the deep cleaning. But the thing is, the deep cleaning only happens sporadically. The maintenance happens more often.
I mean, you have to, like, right, like, tidying your house is, like, an ongoing every single day.
Absolutely.
Thing. Yes.
And so that throws me off in terms of, like.
So then what happens when that's activated within,
like,
you?
Like, if I'm doing a lot of the maintenance and he's not, I, yeah, like, start getting upset. And I start vigorously cleaning.
To make a point.
Yeah, to make a point.
Nice, and sometimes nice and passive-aggressive. Very good.
Here's another really good passive-aggressive thing I do, and he calls me out on it all the time. I'll be like, oh, I made dinner, I washed all the dishes, and I...
Oh, you list.
I list it all.
I do this too.
It's...
So, how many people listening do
yeah,
this?
Yeah, like, raise... If you are listening to this, raise your hand if you also do that. It's so hard not to. You, like, want... And he'll,
yes.
And he'll always...
Well, also,
like,
it sounds like what you're saying is, like, I really, really want to be acknowledged.
Right. Like, the healthier, yeah, thing for me to do would be to say, hey, listen, I've been doing a lot of this maintenance work. It's getting a little overwhelming for me. Can you help me with this?
Yes.
It is really hard for me to ask for help.
Well, is that what you want, or do you want to be acknowledged?
I think either one would,
okay,
work. I think I would take either. I really do. Like, mm-hmm, I would like to be. I mean, I think acknowledge. But he does acknowledge. He's really, yeah, good at acknowledging, like, when I do things. It's just like, I think I just want to list it. So, well, I'm like, I think I'm exhausted.
It's also funny, right? Because, like, I have a similar thing in my house. Not that my husband does deep cleaning, because I'm a cleaning person. And I pay
Smart.
Someone to do that, because that was a fight in my relationship. So I was like, oh, let's instead budget our money out in an appropriate Smart. Way to have someone else help with this. And the funny thing, though, that I'll notice is my husband can withhold way more of a mess than I can.
Mm.
Right? So my thing is that, like, I get very sensory overloaded. Like, I find it incredibly overwhelming. Part of it, I'm sure, is ADHD. Part of it is like sensory stuff that, like, it can be very overwhelming, especially with having a kid. There's just fucking shit everywhere. Like, oh, and God. Even no pets, right? Dog. What? Why do dogs? But they are children.
I
Muffy has the, you know, his toys everywhere.
Yeah, Louis' toys are
everywhere. So I'm like,
they're
always
in the bed. Yes. It looks like I have a million toys,
yes,
in my bed.
I'm always picking up dog stuff, right? So, like, but my husband is also fine with there being clutter in the house. Mm. He can, like, ignore that. I cannot. Like, it's really activating for me. It's really hard for me to relax. And so it's also one of the things where, like, if it bothers you, you can't necessarily expect your partner to even notice it in the same way, right? Because it bothers me. Because my husband will just be like, just leave it in the sink. What's the big deal?
Yeah.
And I'm like, nah.
See, like, I'm way more like Aaron. And
you can ignore it.
Bill is way more. Well, because he, his, growing up, his house was very cluttered. So he, there was like, his parents were, you know, kind of hoarders.
Yeah.
And so he's very sensitive to any sort of clutter, right? Like if there's anything.
Which is funny because like my husband's house was cluttered growing up, but they also, because there was four kids in one small house.
He had
was
the just opposite reaction.
But it didn't bother, bother him.
And he probably got used to it.
Yeah.
He's like,
he can handle it. Yes.
It's really interesting because it's like a similar situation. Yes.
Which goes to show you, we all, right, like, grow up different. Like, you could grow up having a very similar experience and it affects you in a very, very different way. So, this is the expectations of what it goes into in our relationship. And the problematic thing, or potentially conflict issues, is that, what do I do with that? What do I do with these expectations? And we'll talk about it, we talk about it in our e-course in a way of, like, conscious and unconscious contracts, which we've talked about also in other episodes as well. We'll bring up this term again, which is conscious contracts are when we have kids, when we get married, we will have kids. Unconscious contract is, when we get married, I think he'll stop drinking. So it's like the thing
and
which
you,
is
like,
voiced.
It's like an internalized idea of what's going to happen.
Exactly. And we don't just have these in romantic relationships. We have these in work relationships. One of the things I've heard a ton of people say, especially, I mean, you know, it's really hard, not for me, but to make friends as adults.
Yes.
You know me, I'll talk. I mean, I'm talking to everyone. The cashier at CVS is my best friend, right? But like,
it's really amazing.
You know me. So my issue is not that. But for most people, it is very, very challenging to make friends as adults.
You're not in as like small groups.
Exactly.
As we were growing up, where it becomes easier to make friends.
And so I think for some of us, we go into maybe a new workplace thinking like, oh, I'm going to end up really close with my coworkers, or we're going to go to happy hours together. We're going to have this experience. And I've had many clients come in that have a lot of disappointments that they're not making those relationships, that feel like they were really hoping and went in with this expectation. And it ends up being actually quite heartbreaking for them.
Because others who are at work maybe don't have that expectation. Maybe they're like, I just want to go in, put my head down, and not make friends at work. It's almost like us going into grad school.
Oh.
I was like, I'm going to go into
grad school. Okay, that was you, but I was there to party.
No, but my expectation going in was just like, okay, like, I'm going to learn. I'm going to become a therapist. This is going to be great. Like, if I meet friends, great. If I don't, like, no problem. And she was like, my expectation is I am meeting friends.
Yeah, but I do better. I also do better socially. Like, I like having people to talk to. That's like a big recharge, right? That's part of my extrovert part of myself. And so it's true. And so my expectations got met. And because you had very low expectations, yours ended up okay too.
That's the thing. If you have low expectations, they always get met.
Well, there we go. That's one safe way to be. But how about for the people that maybe went having those expectations and then didn't find anyone they really vibed with?
Right. And it can be very disappointing.
Yes.
And so then how do you deal with that disappointment, right? Yeah. Do you kind of grieve this idea of, okay, this is what grad school, or this is what work was going to look like. Mm-hmm. I was going to meet all these friends as an adult. And, I started this new job. Yeah. Everyone's young. And so, like, where I can find my crew.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if that's not met, right, it's grieving and maybe changing that expectation over time.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kids' snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, The Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks.
David Burns, who wrote The Feeling Good Handbook, which is, if you're someone who has a lot of anxiety and is looking for something.
It's a big book.
It's a very large book. Actually, the book itself, the size of it's anxiety producing. But it is it's a great book if you're interested in starting that journey and you're someone who really likes homework and activities. The Feeling Good Handbook, David Burns talks about that frustration is when our expectations don't meet reality, right? So I thought that here's a great one. We're doing construction on our house right now.
Both of us.
Everything has been delayed. Everyone has been doing construction on their house.
Right.
Everything's delayed. Everything's backward. I have
been waiting for a front door for like 6 months.
So there's a situation that like when expectations do not meet reality, it brings up the frustration. And then what do you do with that? Because you can't make that door come any faster. I can't make my partner care more about the mess. Right. There's certain things where like that's when we hit a point of like we've talked about radical acceptance.
Well, because I think a piece of it is, okay, what do you have control of and what don't you have control of, yeah, right? And so if you hold on to this old expectation and it's not being met because of something you don't have control over, then the only option there is to change your expectation, or mm-hmm, you are met with this internal frustration.
Yeah.
You have control over changing or editing those expectations.
Yeah.
You don't have control over any sort of external forces. I don't have control over the fact that I don't have a door that fits in my house.
Yes, yeah.
I don't have control over that.
You know, and I think I've actually heard people express more flexibility in the work one and in the romantic one as opposed to the friendship one. Mm. I think that we specifically, people that identify as women, tend to have very high expectations for their friendships. Would you say, have you had that experience?
Absolutely.
Right? And if you, and I know, and we've done an episode about this, about how like it is, once again, this idea of like disenfranchised grief. Like when you have a romantic breakup, there's a whole conversation about it. Like, but when you have a friendship breakup, it is completely fucking heartbreaking.
Yes.
And there's not a great way to grieve. And we often have unrealistic expectations or unspoken expectations in our friendships.
And it made me think of kind of the piece of like if we're going through something difficult, mm-hmm, right? Like if we're struggling in our relationship and you're like, okay, I want to call this person. Like I need to lean on this friend in some way. You know, we always say, oh, you know, our friends are supposed to be there for us. There's some sayings that like I can't think of, definitely like cliche corny sayings that I can't think of, where we're like, our friends are supposed to be there no matter what. The difficult thing is if your friend is also going through something,
yeah,
right?
No matter what.
No matter what. Well, and I think we bring that into our romantic relationships too,
oh,
right?
True.
Like our partner is supposed to complete us. They're supposed to be there for us whenever we're struggling with something. But the problem is if your partner is struggling too, if your friends are also going through something, if they have a lot of stress,
yeah,
there are times in which our friends and our partners and our family cannot be there for us. And so if we have that expectation of they can only be my friend and they can only hold that title if they can be there for me whenever I'm struggling.
Yeah.
And if they're not there, not only am I just hurt, but they kind of lose that title. That is, it's a lot of pressure to put on your friendships.
Yeah.
Really high expectations.
My first thought when you were going into this is like, do you remember, it brings me back to a very middle school part of myself, which was AIM profiles in MySpace top 8.
Yes.
And there would be like a quote in your AIM profile and then like the initials, right? Like JC. And you like got in a fight with someone, yes, or like didn't go to their sleepover, you got knocked down in your ranking. Absolutely. Same thing with like the MySpace top 8.
It was
right?
such a passive aggressive way it to tell so, to tell oh someone my, that they got knocked down.
Right. Or
you
like,
would put like a Dave Matthews quote about like, how, like how, I don't know. What does Dave Matthews think about? Who the fuck knows? But you know what I mean? You would put like a, yes, or like a Dashboard Confessional, yes, quote.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Yeah. Well, you know, we love that.
We went to a Dashboard Confessional concert together. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was fucking awesome.
Amazing.
And then we went to the casino afterwards.
We did? I don't remember that part.
Yeah, we did.
How was that? Did we lose a lot of money?
I don't think we lost a lot, but we probably didn't gain any. We didn't gain any, that's for sure. Yeah.
If I go to this casino and lose like $100, I am so devastated.
I don't know. We got french fries and burgers and milkshakes afterwards.
Okay, that probably made me happy.
Yeah, that probably made you happy too. So, okay. So, yeah, it brings you back to this time of like, there's been times where we have felt very hurt and very abandoned by people, and we're not really great at saying that.
Yeah.
Right? We're really good at maybe passively letting people know, right? Making jokes about it or making snarky comments, but actually saying like, hey, I'm struggling and I feel like you haven't been here. And I think this is one of the things about like, how do you, the hard part is when you've had a relationship for a very long time, how do you switch the communication to have direct acknowledgement?
Right, like when you've been friends for so long.
Yes.
Like when you're younger, I mean, when you're older too, like no one teaches you how to do this. We're trying.
Yeah.
We're trying to teach everyone, yes, how to do this. Yes. We're trying to teach ourselves how to do, yes, this still. But no one teaches you how to do this. So if you, no, have these really long friendships where that has not been a part of your communication, it takes really changing the way in which you're communicating in those relationships.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that switch is harder than starting a new relationship. And being like, okay, this is how it is off the bat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, totally. It's always more difficult to change a dynamic than start a dynamic.
A new one.
So as we talk about, right, insight, awareness. So how do you start to get awareness of these internalized beliefs about how relationships should be?
Okay, I have a thought.
Yes.
I think as you know, I'm all about like noticing what's happening internally.
You
are. Right?
You so love an internal world.
I love an internal world and an internal monologue. So mm-hmm. I think as you go about your day and you have these interactions with people and you notice the pain points, right? Like you notice the times in which you're like, ooh, like I feel rejected or like I expected this to happen and it didn't happen, yeah, right? Like to almost take note of your internal world and how it's affecting you on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. Because once again, our goal here is to make these subconscious expectations more
come
conscious
out, yes,
to you. And if they're not conscious to you, then you have to recognize them, yeah, first.
Yeah.
So taking note of those pain points of, oh, you know, even if someone says something very small that you're like, ooh, like that, you know, made me uncomfortable or that didn't feel good in some way. Or if you're expressing something and the other person, you know, isn't responding or they're not right in your relationship. If you're mm-hmm. like, okay, I'm expecting my partner to come home and like help me clean and they, yes, go right upstairs and they do work or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. When you're like, oh, like now I'm going to be passive aggressive. If you notice you being passive aggressive, ask yourself, what's going on for me right,
yeah,
now?
I saw really Renee from the Mom Room podcast, ooh, who I think I'm going to be on her podcast.
Yes.
I'm super excited. I love her. And she did a really good Instagram post about this where she talked about feeling she had this expectation when her partner would come home from work that they would have like at least like 15 minutes of family time. So she would like be in the playroom with her son and her husband would walk in and he like goes to the kitchen to do something very helpful, like the dishes, right? Like he was doing what he thought was right. But she noticed that she kept feeling a ton of rage towards him, as opposed to what she realized was that like for her, it was really important to have just a small amount of reconnection time when he first came home. And when she was able to verbalize that, it switched the entire thing.
Right.
Right. He did not know.
She might not even.
She
even might.
Known. She didn't know. Right. She was just having, yeah, a reaction. And I thought that that was a really, really great example of what we're sort of talking about here is when you have these expectations, right? How do you figure out what they are? And first of all, once again, zoom into your body. Where am I having the reaction from?
Where do you feel it?
Yes. For some of us, we've talked about this, maybe anger, you're feeling it in your hands. Maybe anxiety, you're feeling it in your stomach. Maybe if you're shut down, you're feeling your whole body start to feel very cementy, right? Like that's one of the things we can feel. Like not all of us have shut down is also an emotional reaction.
Yes.
It's not just screaming. Shutting down is also a reaction.
That's a really important point that probably touches on so many different things because I think so often the person who withdraws or shuts down is almost seen as like, okay, they're the one who's like keeping the peace or, you know, not the one who's emotionally reactive.
Yeah.
But you are also emotionally reactive and that is absolutely my move.
Yes. Really?
Could you imagine?
What a surprise! Interesting. You, Jennifer, never.
But you know, I think we're missing. I think we're missing a big, big topic.
Yeah.
Which is our expectations with our family.
Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blue Land proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blue Land is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packed. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon, or you can choose fragrance-free. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off. Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
And I think a big one with our parents, right, or our caregivers.
Yeah.
And because, you know, whether you're seeing it in the media or there's these expectations of my caregivers should be there for me in this way, so often it does not match reality.
Ooh,
I know. Let's take a big breath with that one.
Who did you think and who did the world tell you that your parents should be? Right? were you told that a mom should always be super feminine and nurturing? Were you told that a man, that a father should be slightly disengaged? Were you told that you should have a mother and a father as opposed to two moms or two dads or grandparents or aunts, right? Or some other different type of caregiver, yes. You know, like any of these things that we got the idea of, there's a really great quote that a lot of song that like a lot of preschools do.
Is it Dave Matthews? Did Dave Matthews?
No, it's like, some people have a mommy, some people have a daddy, some people have two mommies, and that's a family. Some people have an auntie, some people have two daddies, some people have a grandma, and that's a family, right? Like that. Like,
oh my God! The like, thank of, God yeah. things are you know like, progressing. Yes, right? I don't like, think I was like, ever taught that.
No, of course we fucking weren't.
So that was beautiful. You have just a gorgeous voice.
And that's when people turn off the show. Here it is. If you've stayed this long, let us know. if that didn't scare you away, we'll see what happens next. But, right, so, like, it's so true. So, like, now there's a lot more different conversations. But I think a lot of us still want, like, the stupid Brady Bunch. Like, which is funny, right? Because that was still, well, they're widows, I guess, right?
I think, are they?
I never actually really watched the Brady Bunch besides the very Brady sequel.
Wait, when they went to Hawaii. Widows? That's yes. interesting.
Except for then I think in one of the movies that came out that she wasn't. I have no idea.
No, actually, I don't know.
Right. So, okay. Ba-ba-da-ba-da. But this idea of like, they give us this great advice and they're always there
and
for
they
you.
Sit right? Okay. Like Full House. Like, right. Like at the end. Okay, right. Like example. Something happens. Full House. There's always a moral. They sit you down. Right. First of all, the whole family lives in the house and like, there's really not that much conflict. Yes. Which would just, is just a true miracle.
Yes.
And at the end, there's a moral where someone, an adult, is sitting the child down and talking through the experience, and you get this kind of huge lesson at the end.
So beautiful.
Did that ever happen to anyone?
Didn't happen to me. Did it happen to you?
No, no chance. There was more, for me, it was more like everyone just like laughed and brushed it under the rug, right? Like, let's make jokes and brush it under the rug. That's pretty much how we dealt with everything.
I feel like my mom would have a blow up and my dad would shut down. Ooh. And then we would all get mad at my mom and she took the brunt of all of our anger.
Oh, wow.
And my dad got to be the good guy, even though he was just like, yeah, he just, because he disengaged.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. The person who disengages, like,
they often get to be the good guy. They yes. get to look more calm, cool, and collected.
Yes. And then the other person who's more reactive
looks like the bad guy, yes. right? Like, oh, that's the crazy one.
But it's a dynamic.
Always. Two to tango. Okay. So that's a huge one, right? And I think that there is a part that at what point do we stop carrying this around? One of my favorite things to talk about with my clients currently is if your parents had the parents they needed, who would they have been able to be to you as a parent? This did not start at one place. This is, once again, the intergenerational transmission process of what has been passed down through generation to generation, right? And also goes to, if you haven't and are interested, that book, Children of Emotionally Immature Parents, mm-hmm. which is fabulous, which goes into a lot of this stuff we're talking about. But we can keep carrying this resentment and anger with us. And sometimes it also causes us to overcompensate in our relationships. Right?
That, I think that's really important, right?
And like, that's what we don't talk about enough.
Absolutely. Because when you, right, as you become an adult, right, and you start to recognize that your parents are also adults, and maybe you're doing the emotional work, right? Like you're going to therapy, you're working on yourself, and you start to realize that your parents are imperfect people. Mm-hmm. And there's some options there, right? Like we can hold on to that resentment of, okay, they have never been the parent that I needed them to be. And you keep expecting them to be that parent, right? Like I think a big one that I hear a lot is like, I'm going to tell them something, right? Like I'm going to tell my parents something. I'm going to expect them to react in this way mm-hmm. that I need them to react.
Yes.
And so often that's not happening, right? Whether they're being critical or they are kind of shutting down or they're not, whatever. They're not having a reaction. But sometimes we're like, okay, I'm still going to hold on to this expectation and then maybe I'll try even harder next time. And when I do that, I'm going to express that to them and then maybe they'll react in the way I want them to.
Yeah.
right? And so we put all this pressure on ourselves to do something different so that they have the reaction that we expect them to have, as opposed to saying, okay, maybe they're never going to meet that expectation.
Yeah. And giving yourself like space to grieve and have grace for that, right? Like that's a very legit thing to grieve.
That's hard.
Yes, for all types of expectation, right? If I had an expectation that my partner was going to really show up for me in postpartum and then they end up getting really bad postpartum depression, well, there goes that expectation. And that's not like someone's intention. Like sometimes shit happens, right? And that doesn't mean we're not allowed to have space to grieve and to be sad about this and to process it. It just means at what point do we release?
Right. Right. And it, you know, we're talking about it like it's like kind of one thing, right? Like
it's never one thing.
And it's never one thing. Like this is such a process, right? That, and it might take having these experiences with your parents, caregivers, relationships over and over again, where you're realizing that your expectations aren't being met. And every time that that happens, you get the choice to grieve that what your expectation was and what that your expectation of the relationship was, and to edit it, right? So like next time you go to your partner or your parents to say something where you can go into it, this is where the kind of action comes in, right? You can go into it saying, okay, I realized that my original expectation was that they're going to respond to me in this way, but I know that that's never happened before.
Yeah.
I know that that's never happened
historically before. There's no evidence there.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's a question to ask yourself. Like historically, has that have my expectations ever been met?
Yeah.
Right? If it's one time out of a million times, then like chances are low. Right?
It's true. It's totally true,
like
right?
Yeah. The chances of you being disappointed are much higher.
Yeah.
And so if you go into it saying, okay, I'm going to change my expectation this time.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like they probably won't respond to me, or maybe I don't go to them this time.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I go to someone else.
Yeah.
Who can give me what I need in these moments that sometimes our caregivers aren't able to give us what we need. Sometimes our partners aren't able to give us what we need.
Well, it's great plug for chosen family, right? Like it's a great fucking plug to say like there are other people that can give you caregiving and nurturing and all of these other stuff. And like, how do we start to create that? Like, that's what we talk about as community care. And, you know, I like what you said a lot about this aspect of like, what can you do with it, right? Like, who else can you go to? I think there's something incredibly important there. And it's a reality check.
Yeah.
Which sometimes sucks.
Yes. Sucks most of the time.
It sucks most of the time, right? And I think that's the thing. And like, as always, our disclaimer is like, no, at no point is abuse acceptable, neglect acceptable, right?
That
like,
has always been disclaimer.
Of course, like 100% when we talk about this stuff, we are not talking about situations where there's abuse or intimate partner
violence.
Yeah,
do not lower your expectations there.
But it is important for you to sit here and take from this episode, what is happening for me? What are my expectations? What are my partner's expectations? What are my expectations from work, from my relationships, from my family? And how am I maybe subconsciously or unconsciously putting those out there and then getting very disappointed or very hurt? Or does it put me in a place where screw them, they can't give it to me, I cut them off completely?
Because that is still a reaction.
That's still a reaction, right? Like that isn't, you know, I think that we're a society that's like quick for cutoff.
It's easier.
Actually, I don't know if that's true.
I think it depends on the person.
I think it totally depends.
I think that's always our
and the culture, right? And the culture, the community around it. You know, like some cultural communities, like you cannot, you're not.
But I
do.
I think once again, I know I'm going back to the disclaimer. Like there are times when cutoff is important for your safety, right?
Yes.
Like that boundary is important for you, and so to really think about, like, just as Em said, what's realistic in this situation. Right.
Yes.
And I think media really fucks us up too. Right.
As like always.
Movies, media, like really fucks us up. Like how we grew up with this idea of like, this is how your romantic, like Disney movies completely screwed us. Right. Like this is how your relationship should look. Also, the man was always like the savior.
Oh, I mean, of course. Well, it's funny you just said that, right? Like, because I was thinking, I started also thinking about diet culture when you talked about like, the media, because of course.
Yes.
And a girlfriend of mine is pregnant right now. I was helping her move her stuff last week, and we were going through a lot of stuff, and I was like, all right, what do you want to do about like this stuff? And she was like, honestly, I'm not going to fit into that. And I was like, oh, like after pregnancy, I was like, are you sure? And she like looked at me and she was like, I'm sure. She was like, my body was very small before. I am aware that, you know what I mean? Like, yes. She had like such an honest, like realistic thought about it. And I was like, cool, let's goodwill it. You know, like, let's just get rid of it then, right? Like, and I think that that is another thing diet culture puts on us is the expectation. And I think that happens a lot with postpartum is like, the breastfeeding is going to help me lose the weight, or I'm going to get back to that previous, like, pre-baby body, or like whatever, like
keeping,
these things are.
Keeping your old jeans.
How many of us still have items from high school?
Can we do this be another like raise our
hand? Yeah, raise your hand, right? Like why?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, are you actually ever going to wear those? Like, why do we hold on to them, right? So like another thing is like, what are my expectations on myself for my body, for my growth, for my success? Like you have to have like a really honest conversation about like, what do you expect from yourself? And like, is it too much?
And, you know, maybe you had a goal, right? This is different than like goals for yourself, right? If you had a goal for like work, right? I'm going to reach this. And maybe you have kids in that and you're overwhelmed and maybe you have to edit those expectations as you move forward. Like, okay, maybe that's no longer working for me, right? So like your expectations about on yourself can change over time.
We got to get to Dear Em and Jen. So
we could talk about this forever.
We could talk about this forever. But here's your takeaway from it. Write it down. Write down, go through your expectations. If this relates to you a lot and you're in a romantic relationship and you're looking, you can do our e-course. But this is
that's
also
a module.
That's a module, right? But also you can do this at home of saying like, okay, like realistically, like what are my expectations on myself, of my family, of my relationship, of my work, of any of those things? I'm a fucking dog walker. I don't know. Like what in any type of relationship in your life, what are the expectations? Am I voicing them? Does the other person know?
Do I know?
Do I even know? And how do I then change that dialogue so it's more direct, more honest, and we're leaving less room for difficult feelings of hurt and anger and stuff.
And miscommunication.
Dear Em and Jen.
Dear Em and Jen, ready?
I'm ready.
Dear Em and Jen, how do I deal with a selfish future father-in-law? He always prioritizes his current girlfriend over his son, gets upset when my fiance won't drop everything to help him, is constantly trying to guilt trip, and tries to use money to manipulate situations. While we have been planning our wedding, he tried to convince my fiance's mother to withhold money because my fiance wouldn't leave work to run an errand for my future father-in-law, and recently he threatened to not attend at all if we don't invite additional guests. We are planning a small wedding and set boundaries about who would be invited before speaking with any family members about financial support. Invites had already been sent when he made the request. It's truly exhausting and heartbreaking to see him act this way towards his son. How do I navigate this situation and support my fiance, especially since I obviously have no control over their relationship?
What are your thoughts first? What'd you go to?
Well, I mean,
first response, give it to me.
Since we're talking about expectations, right? The expectations that we have for...
Expectations that he's not going to be a jerk.
Right.
My expectations, my father-in-law will be nice and not a jerk. Right. There you go.
Pretty good. But I think the expectations that we have for our parents, that we have for our partner's parents, right? That for our whole lives, we build up our expectations for our own family of origin, right? Mm-hmm. And we really understand that.
Then you get a whole other one.
Then you get a whole other one. You got to deal with. And so to be able, like, that's a whole process you have to go through.
Yes.
You know, to be like, okay, now I have to understand my partner's family and their family dynamic. And what are my, you know, maybe my expectations that I have built up for my family of origin have to be very different than what my partner's experiencing. It is so hard to see our partners struggle in their relationships.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Right? It's so painful because, too, we feel kind of helpless, right? Like, what are we supposed to do? And let me just tell you, like, weddings bring up a lot of family shit.
It brings up everything. So I guess what this person is asking, the actual question was, how do I navigate this situation and support my fiance? And I think that is when you go into that direct conversation with your fiance and say, like, how do you feel about this, right? Because there's a certain amount when it's our own family of origin. If I've had a difficult parent, I've learned certain ways to handle it. And sometimes that's avoidance. Sometimes that's anger. Sometimes that's shoving shit under the rug. So I think first a direct communication with your partner of how do you want to handle this? And then how do we want to handle this, right? And if the way that they're handling it doesn't work for you, be like, listen, like, I actually can't not say anything. Like, this feels really important to me that I need to speak up. Then I would go to your partner and say that directly, right? Because some of us really learned, this is a skill that people learn early in childhood, which is to counterbalance. If I grew up in a family where there's high emotional reactivity, then my parents took up a lot of space, I learned to counterbalance that. And so when I learned to counterbalance that early in childhood, I will often take that in where I'm very, very, very good at letting things go and justifying behavior and being like, well, that's just who my dad is, whatever. And so I think you have to say, like, hey, like, this worked for you, but like, what about our life? Mm-hmm. Because this probably won't be the last tough situation you're in. I think wedding planning is super tough and I think it brings up a lot, but it's not going to be the last tough thing.
No chance. Well, also, I think creating a boundary around your relationship is something that all couples have to learn when they're forming their own family, mm-hmm. right? Because there was a boundary around your family of origin growing up. And then when you get married, right, or you form a romantic relationship, you create a boundary around your relationship that is separate from your family of origin.
Yes.
That transition is really challenging for a lot of people. And so I really like what you said, Em, about saying, okay, I'm going to give you the space to tell me how you feel, how you want to handle this, and then we could talk about how do we want to deal with this as a couple.
Yeah, yeah.
That's you creating a boundary around your relationship to be mm-hmm. able to say, we're going to tackle this
while
as a
also
team.
Honoring theirs.
Absolutely.
Right, like these things can both exist.
Right. And I think so often couples get into like conflict if the kind of boundaries are skewed because that transition is so hard going from the boundary of your family of origin to the boundary of your relationship. Mm-hmm. And that there sometimes there can be control, like, oh, you should do this with your family, right? Yeah. Like this, right?
Yeah. I'm not talking to myself. That wasn't, no, this is not personal at all here, right? Now we have to do a personal versus professional right, on that one. Right, right. Yikes.
Like we so often say like, oh, you need to do this. This is how I would handle it. So you need to do this as opposed to giving them the space to say, well, this is how I want to go about handling this with my family. Mm-hmm. And then you could have a conversation about what feels right for you and what feels right for your relationship.
Absolutely. All right. Hey, I hope you got something out of this episode. I hope it worked well for you. If you enjoyed this episode or you think anyone else is, you can send it to them. You can also rate, review, subscribe. And now on Apple Podcasts, you follow. No more subscription through Apple. It's called follow. Good. So you can subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcast. Next week's episode, we are super excited to have on India Oxenberg, survivor of the NXIVM cult. She is in the amazing documentary Seduced on Stars. We cannot wait to get into what it's like leaving a high control relationship and situation and how none of us are that far. It could happen to anyone. So we'll talk to you next week. And don't forget to grow yourself. You got to know yourself.
Hey guys, I'm Alana Dunn, and I'm the host of Seeing Other People. As an early Hinge employee, a modern dater, and now a fiancé, I know the dating world maybe a little too intimately. I'm here to make you feel less alone in your dating journey, whatever it may look like. Don't have a date for tonight? No problem. Whether you're looking for love or just want to laugh and commiserate with others, tune in to Seeing Other People as we explore the roller coaster that is the ever-evolving world of dating.